All right, let's dive into this playing cards thing. We've got a stack of research here, articles, notes. Looks like someone's ready to go all in.
Yeah, it's amazing how these little pieces of cardboard have captivated people for centuries.
Definitely ready to shuffle through all this and see what we can uncover.
From their history to the symbolism, even some psychology behind it all.
For sure. I mean, I was just looking at this stuff about their origins of the Tang Dynasty. 9th century China, can you believe that?
Oh yeah, it's fascinating, right? They started with drinking games. Can you imagine losing a hand and having to chug wine?
Oh man, talk about raising the stakes. But what's interesting is how they went from a casual pastime to something used in trade, even as currency at times.
It really shows how important they were in cultural exchange. As cards spread across continents, their purpose evolved. They were used for communication, for trade, and even to sharp social hierarchies. It's wild to think something that started as a way to liven up a party became something that represented actual value.
That's a really good point. But honestly, the thing that really caught my eye was the symbolism in a standard deck. 52 cards, 52 weeks, 4 suits, 4 seasons, 13 cards per suit, 13 lunar cycles. It's like a mini calendar right there in your hand.
It is, isn't it? It really shows how humans try to find meaning and order in the world. It's like we see it in ancient architecture and myths, and yeah, even in a deck of cards. It's a way of connecting to bigger patterns, even while you're just playing a game.
Exactly. And then you've got the Joker just thrown there to mess everything up. I didn't realize it was added during the American Civil War, relatively recent.
The Joker is so interesting. It's like, on the one hand, it represents chaos and unpredictability. It disrupts the order of everything. But then on the other hand, it adds this whole new layer of complexity and excitement.
It's like a reminder that rules are made to be broken, even in a game as structured as cards. Okay, so we've got this deck full of meaning and then this mysterious Joker thrown in. What about the suits themselves? Hearts, diamonds, clubs, spades. How did those become the symbols we use?
Well, their simple design, it originated in France. That really helped them spread all across Europe and then the world. I mean, we're still using them centuries later.
It's true, they've definitely stood the test of time. But you know, while I was reading through the research, I noticed something about the King of Hearts. There's a theory he might actually represent Charlemagne. And the other kings, they're supposedly based on David, Caesar, and Alexander the Great. It makes you wonder why they chose to use those historical figures.
It's more than just decoration, you know? It's like they were trying to connect the game to history and power structures. Imagine playing with these cards and kind of absorbing those figures and their qualities. It's like a subtle form of cultural transmission.
Wow, I hadn't thought about it that way before. It's like the cards are carrying little pieces of history with them, almost like a secret code in the game. But speaking of those figures, I have to ask about a couple of things that always bug me. The one-eyed Jax, what's the deal with that? And is the King of Hearts really trying to kill himself with that sword?
Haha, the Suicide King, right. Those little quirks are just a result of how the designs have changed over time. The one-eyed Jax probably came from earlier pictures of servants or knaves. They were often shown in profile, so you'd only see one eye. And that sword the King of Hearts has, it's probably just a stylized scepter, but people have misinterpreted it over the years.
So basically, it's like a visual game of telephone. The details get distorted over time. Speaking of visual details, what about those fancy designs on the back of the cards? I read that they weren't just for looks.
You're right, they actually had a practical purpose. Those elaborate designs were meant to stop people from cheating. If a card got damaged, you could tell which one it was during the game, so the intricate patterns helped hide any wear and tear.
That's pretty clever. It seems like every part of a deck of cards has some hidden story behind it. But let's switch gears for a minute and talk about magic. Card tricks have been around for centuries, amazing people for years. What do you think is so fascinating about them?
I think it's that combination of skill, illusion, and psychology. A good magician knows how to do sleight of hand, of course, but they also know how to control what the audience is paying attention to. They create this sense of wonder. It's really amazing.
I was reading about Giovanni Battista della Porta. He was writing about card tricks back in the 1500s. And then there's the legendary Jean-Eugène Robert Houdin, the father of modern magic.
Robert Houdin, he was a master. He was incredible at misdirection and showmanship. He took card tricks to a whole new level, turning them into a real art form. He used storytelling and theatrics to create these truly captivating performances.
It's incredible how something as simple as cards can be used for such elaborate illusions. It makes you realize that magic isn't just about the tricks themselves, it's about the connection with the audience. That shared sense of wonder and disbelief.
You're absolutely right. magic, just like playing cards themselves, relies on us suspending our disbelief for a moment. It's about being willing to enter a world where impossible things seem possible.
Okay, so we've talked about history, symbolism, even magic. But what about the games themselves? Beyond the classics like poker and Go Fish, what other card games are out there? And what makes them so appealing?
The world of card games is huge. There are so many different kinds. You have trick-taking games like Bridge and Euchre. In those, the goal is to win tricks by playing the highest card or trumping your opponents. Then you've got hand-building games like Rummy and Canasta. Those are all about creating matching sets and runs of cards. And of course, there are shedding games like Uno and Crazy Eights, where you just want to be the first to get rid of all your cards.
Wow, I never realized there were so many different types. What is it about all these games that makes us want to keep playing them? Is it the challenge, the social aspect, or is there something else going on?
It's probably a combination of all those things. Some games, like Bridge, they appeal to people who love strategy and teamwork. Others, like poker, they offer that thrill of competition and maybe the chance to win big. And then you have games like Hearts or Spades. Those are just fun and engaging ways to connect with friends and family.
I think you've hit the nail on the head there. It's that social connection, that shared experience of playing together. That's what makes card games so enduring. I mean, think about that massive Texas Hold'em tournament they had. Over 22,000 players. Or Brian Berg building a 10-story card house in like a minute. These things show the power of cards to bring people together. Yeah. And to inspire people to do amazing things.
Absolutely. Those are great examples of how playing cards go beyond their basic function. They become tools for creativity, for building communities, even for pushing the limits of what humans can do.
You know, while we were getting ready for this deep dive, I came across some interesting stuff about how card designs have changed. I had no idea that early European decks were so different from the ones we use today.
I know, right? They often had totally different suits, sometimes with religious figures or allegorical themes. And the court cards, the kings, queens, and jacks, they looked completely different depending on where and when they were made. It's like each deck was a snapshot of the culture at that time.
That makes sense, though. As printing got better, card designs would naturally become more elaborate and standardized. But it's still fascinating to think about those early decks, each one unique, reflecting the art of that period.
And even within those standardized decks, you still see those little variations, those regional differences. For example, the French kept naming their court cards after historical or legendary figures, while other countries just went with more generic representations.
So even the faces on our modern cards have their own hidden stories. It's like peeling back layers of history with every card you draw. Before we wrap up this part of our deep dive, is there anything else that stood out to you in the research? Anything you found particularly interesting or unexpected?
Well, one thing that really stuck with me was this idea that card games can be more than just games.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they can actually help people develop important life skills.
That's interesting. Tell me more.
Well, think about it. Card games often involve strategic thinking, you know, weighing risks, paying attention to details, even a bit of psychology.
Trying to read your opponents. Exactly. Those are all valuable skills that you can use in real life situations.
It's true. It's like a training ground for navigating social dynamics and for making decisions when you're under pressure.
And, you know, I was also thinking about all the different types of decks out there beyond the standard 52 card set, tarot cards, oracle cards, even those custom decks with unique artwork. It seems like playing cards have become a canvas for so much more than just games these days.
Definitely. They've definitely evolved tarot decks, for example. They have this rich history connected to esoteric traditions and divination practices. Their symbolism and archetypes can be a framework for introspection and self-discovery.
Yeah, and those custom decks with artwork, inspired by everything from pop culture to fantasy. They're almost like collectible art pieces, aren't they?
They are. It's a way for people to express their interests. And to connect with others who share those interests.
It shows how adaptable playing cards are. Even in our digital world, they still capture our imaginations. They're a tangible connection to tradition while also reflecting our changing culture.
And our individual expressions.
It's just like this perfect mix of old and new, familiar and unexpected. So as we wrap up this deep dive, I want to hear from you, our listener. Think about your own experiences with playing cards. What's the most memorable game, trick, or moment you've shared with others? What role have playing cards had in your life?
Have they been a source of entertainment, connection, competition, or maybe even a tool for personal growth?
As you think back on those memories, Consider this. What is it about playing cards that continues to fascinate us?
Is it the element of chance, the strategic possibilities, the social connection, or maybe the enduring symbolism that's woven into each deck?
We'd love to hear your thoughts in the comments. Thanks for joining us on this deep dive into the world of playing cards. It's been an amazing journey exploring their history, symbolism, and lasting appeal. Until next time, may your hands be lucky and your games filled with joy. One thing that really stood out to me was how card games can be a way to learn about different cultures.
Oh, yeah. Like how?
Well, different cultures have their own unique card games with their own rules and traditions.
Oh, I see what you mean. It's like a window into how other people think and play.
Exactly. It's a fun way to experience a bit of another culture.
Mm-hmm.
So to wrap up this deep dive, I think it's safe to say that playing cards are more than just pieces of cardboard.
They really are.
They're a reflection of our history, our culture, our creativity. And they've brought people together for centuries.
For sure. Whether it's a friendly game of poker or a high-stakes tournament, playing cards have this unique ability to connect us.
It's amazing how something so simple can have such a profound impact. So next time you pick up a deck of cards, take a moment to appreciate the rich history and the countless stories that are woven into those 52 cards.
And the Joker.
And the Joker, of course. Thanks for joining us on this deep dive into the world of playing cards. It's been a fascinating journey, and we hope you've enjoyed it.
Absolutely. It's been a pleasure exploring this topic with you.
Until next time, may all your shuffles be smooth and your hams be winning ones.